A teacher like that can help me no more than a seasick pilot can be efficient in a storm. He must hold the tiller when the waves are tossing him. He must wrestle, as it were, with the sea. He must furl his sails when the storm rages. What good is a frightened and vomiting steersman to me? And how much greater, think you, is the storm of life than that which tosses any ship? One must steer, not talk. All the words that these men utter and juggle before a listening crowd belong to others. They have been spoken by Plato, spoken by Zeno, spoken by Chrysippus or by Posidonius, and by a whole host of Stoics as numerous as excellent. I shall show you how men can prove their words to be their own. It is by doing what they have been talking about. Since, therefore, I have given you the message I wished to pass on to you, I shall now satisfy your craving and shall reserve for a new letter a complete answer to your summons, so that you may not approach in a condition of weariness a subject which is thorny and which should be followed with an attentive and painstaking ear. Farewell. Letter 109. On the Fellowship of Wise Men. You expressed a wish to know whether a wise man can help a wise man. For we say that the wise man is completely endowed with every good and has attained perfection. Accordingly, the question arises how it is possible for anyone to help a person who possesses the supreme good. Good men are mutually helpful, for each gives practice to the other's virtues and thus maintains wisdom at its proper level. Each needs someone with whom he may make comparisons and investigations. Skilled wrestlers are kept up to the mark by practice. A musician is stirred to action by one of equal proficiency. The wise man also needs to have his virtues kept in action, and as he prompts himself to do things, so he is prompted by another wise man. How can a wise man help another wise man? He can quicken his impulses and point out to him opportunities for honorable action. Besides, he can develop some of his own ideas. He can impart what he has discovered. For even in the case of the wise man, something will always remain to discover, something towards which his mind may make new ventures. Evil men harm evil men. Each debases the other by rousing his wrath, by approving his churlishness, and praising his pleasures. Bad men are at their worst stage when their faults are most thoroughly intermingled, and their wickedness has been, so to speak, pooled in partnership. Conversely, therefore, a good man will help another good man. How, you ask? Because he will bring joy to the other. He will strengthen his faith, and from the contemplation of their mutual tranquility, the delight of both will be increased. Moreover, they will communicate to each other a knowledge of certain facts, for the wise man is not all-knowing, and even if he were all-knowing, someone might be able to devise and point out shortcuts by which the whole matter is more readily disseminated. The wise will help the wise, not, mark you, because of his own strength merely, but because of the strength of the man whom he assists. The latter, it is true, can by himself develop his own parts. Nevertheless, even one who is running well is helped by one who cheers him on. But the wise man does not really help the wise. He helps himself. Let me tell you this. Strip the one of his special powers, and the other will accomplish nothing. You might as well, on that basis, say that sweetness is not in the honey, for it is the person himself who is to eat it that is so equipped as to tongue and palate for tasting this kind of food that the special flavor appeals to him, and anything else displeases. For there are certain men so affected by disease that they regard honey as bitter. Both men should be in good health, that the one may be helpful and the other a proper subject for help. Again, they say, when the highest degree of heat has been attained, it is superfluous to apply more heat, and when the supreme good has been attained, it is superfluous to have a helper. Does a completely stocked farmer ask for further supplies from his neighbors? Does a soldier who is sufficiently armed for going well equipped into action need any more weapons? Very well, neither does the wise man, for he is sufficiently equipped and sufficiently armed for life. My answer to this is that when one is here,